friends, welcome to another episode of Making Disciples. My name is Chris and I am your host. I hope you're doing all right. Welcome to this discipleship podcast. We've covered a lot of stuff in the last year. If you start looking through all the different topics and things that we have looked at, some of the teachings of Jesus. And the last month, we've really been looking at questions of salvation. You know, what is salvation? And I'd only planned two episodes on this, and then we ended up doing a third one. And having put out the third episode last week, I then get an email on Monday from a good friend of mine who actually is a maths teacher. And it's an amazing email, and he's given me permission to just mention this. He sent this great email, and he said, "I'm just really struggling, Chris, with the maths or the mathematics or the equation that sits behind salvation. I'm struggling to get my head around how Jesus' death on the cross equals me being forgiven of my sins. How does his death equate to me being set free?" And I didn't want to pass by that topic without answering that question. If we haven't underlined that or spoke into that in the last few weeks, I want to make sure I clearly outlined that today. So what I thought we would do is almost walk through the journey of the problem and then how Jesus is the solution. And I love this. I love how he said, you know, I don't understand the equation of salvation. So, actually, that's quite an interesting way of approaching it. You know, what does the equation look like? So I thought we would jump in and explore that today as a kind of an extra bonus episode, exploring that just one more time before we kind of move on from the topic of understanding salvation. You know, you might say, why do we need so many weeks, 4 weeks on salvation? Actually, friends, if we as disciples of Jesus don't understand why Jesus' death is important for us, if we don't understand the implications of that and now what that means for my life, then like, who else is going to understand it? We need to understand it. Plus, when you're talking to folk and you're sharing your faith with people and they actually ask you the question, you know, but yeah, but how does Jesus' death on the cross actually help me? I don't understand. Brilliant question. So in answering it, I want to give you an answer so that you've got some material that you could use to help understand or explain that topic yourself. So that's what we're going to look at. I don't understand the equation of salvation. What is the equation for salvation? How does Jesus' death solve the problem of me and my sin? So that's what we're going to look at today. Friends, warm welcome to you. I hope you're doing all right. It's been really fun seeing some of you kind of responding to this topic and engaging with this topic with me through private messages and that kind of thing. So massive thank you for those that are engaging with me in that way. Also, thank you to those that have bought me a coffee recently. I am sat here right now with a cup of coffee that one of you has paid for, and you know, as I've sat here and prepared, I've been drinking this coffee, and I'm going to finish it now while recording this episode for you. So big thank you. If you would like to support the podcast by buying us a coffee, the link is in the show notes. You're very welcome to do that. So let's jump in as we explore this topic of the equation of salvation, which kind of rhymes, isn't it? Which I didn't mean it to, but the equation of salvation. So let's jump in as we start to think a little bit around this idea of the equation for salvation. You know, how does this thing add up? I'm going to go for a quickish answer, and then I'm going to unpack it in a longer form as we look through some passages and we look through the whole story of Scripture. But for those of us with short attention spans, here is a very quick and short answer. I'm going to anchor it around Romans. And there's a great verse in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, which I'll kind of explain in a second. But I'm going to anchor my answer around that verse. But, you know, what is the problem? Well, the problem is sin, and that we are polluted by sin. What does Mark 7, 20 to 23 said? What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, the evil comes. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lawlessness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All of these evils come from the inside and defile a person. So sin pollutes, But sin doesn't just pollute us. John 8:34 says this: Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, anybody who sins is a slave to sin." So sin doesn't just pollute, it is also powerful. And there's a cost to it. And this is where Romans 6:23 comes in. I think this is the most important verse. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." The wages of sin is death. So the cost of sinning is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So sin pollutes, sin is powerful, and sin has a penalty. And the final thing is this: sin also is not a great choice of words, but my four P's: pollutes, powerful, penalty, and parts. Sin parts us, or you could say separates us from God. And Isaiah 59:2 says this: "But your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." So sin pollutes us. It's powerful in our lives. There's a cost for sinning and death, which leads to death. And sin separates us from God. So that's the problem. That is the problem. So if you approach this as a mathematical equation, you could say sin plus the cross equals eternal life. So S plus C equals E, eternal life. Sin plus C, cross, equals E, eternal life. S plus C equals E. Really interesting, simple way of remembering what is salvation. So sin is a minus number in your life. It's a debt. What Romans 6 says is really important: for the wages of sin, or the debt of sin, is death. The cost of sinning is death. So sin is a minus number in your life. It's a debt in your life that has to be paid for. And friends, whatever that debt is, if it's 100, 200, 1,000, 1,000,000, 1,000,000,000, 1,000,000,000, whatever, trizillion, I don't know kind of what goes beyond that. But whatever your minus number is, whatever debt you've stacked up, C is a bigger positive number. So if, I'm going to keep it small, if the cost of your sinning is minus 10, then the cross is a plus of 100. It's a much bigger number. So sin is a minus number, the cross is a positive number, and when sin meets the cross, it equals E, eternal life. So there's a nice little way of remembering it: S plus C equals E, eternal life. That's what salvation is. So that's a real simple way for you and I to remember it. I've got a little story for you. I think I might have told this before on the podcast, but I'll share it because I just think it's so much fun. I was in Philadelphia, years ago, say 19 years ago, could be 25, 24, something like that, years ago. And we were visiting friends of my wife Becky's out in Philly, and Michaela and Pete, and I went out in one of the afternoons to go to the store to pick up a few things. And I wander around the store and I've picked up a few items. It was Mothering Sunday in the UK, but it was not Mothering Sunday in the US. So trying to find a Mother's Day card in the US was an absolute nightmare. You can't get them. So anyway, I bought a regular card and we got something for Becky from this day. And in fact, it was 19 years ago because it was Isaac's first Mother's Day. Anyway, so I'm in the US. I'm in the queue. I've got a card and a gift for Becky at the local store. I get to the till and the woman kind of puts it through. And I suddenly realize as she's put it through, I've come out with no money. I've got no cash on me and I don't have my cards on me. I have no way of paying the debt for the card and the Mother's Day gift. I'm just like, I can't pay it. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what do I do? I'm looking absolute fool. The woman behind the counter is staring at me. She's asking for $8, and I'm like, I don't have these $8. I'm kind of like, I'm stuck. I'm stuck because I cannot go home without a Mother's Day card and gift for Becky, because it was Mother's Day in the UK. I had to go back with something, but I got no money to pay for it, and I obviously kind of blanked in. I'm like, I can't see how I can solve this. There's no solution to this. I can't pay the debt, but I can't go from here without something. And I'm just like, what do I do? And what was so amazing was, just behind me, there was a person stood who obviously kind of heard me go, oh, I've come up with no card, no cash, I can't pay for this. And the person, I can't tell if it was a man or woman, I just cannot remember, because it wasn't significant if it was a man or a woman. What was significant was this: they reached over with their, I remember it being an American Express card, they reached over with their card and they paid the bill for me. They paid the £8 that I was in debt. And I turned to them, I said, thank you so much, because I just didn't know what I was going to do. And I got the card and the gift, and I left the shop debt free. And I think it's a great illustration, just a simple illustration of, we are in debt. Sin is not just something we've done, it's something that leads to death. And it's a debt on our lives. It's a cost to it. This cost pollutes us. It's powerful as a penalty, and it separates us. It parts us from God. And I'm in the queue. I'm like, how do I pay this? I can't pay this. I have no means to deal with this issue that I've got. And then someone else steps in. They pay the price that I owed. They paid the price. It cost them the $8, not me. And they freely allowed me to walk out of that store without owing them anything. And that is the picture of salvation. So let's just walk through in a little bit more detail the actual problem that salvation is the solution to. So let me just walk through this. I think I've alluded to this in a number of episodes, but I actually walked through it in detail. So, in the Old Testament, I'm going to give you a bit of background here. The root of the problem is sin, remember, okay? And this is depicted in Genesis 3, verses 6 to 7. And it says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it to eat. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and they made coverings for themselves. And as the story goes on, we know that Adam and Eve then are hiding in the garden from God. Why? Because it separates us. It parts us from God. There's a cost to this sin. So not only it polluted their hearts, it was powerful in their lives. There's also a cost to it. And we'll see the cost in a second. But then it's parted them between them and God. There's now this fragmentation. And there is a penalty, and the penalty was they suddenly saw that they were naked. There was no longer innocence in the world. Now, let's just leap past this for a second. Eve eats the apple. Is she the problem? Would Adam have avoided the tree if Eve hadn't eaten it? Well, I heard a rabbi talking on this a number of years ago. I thought it was brilliant. He just says, if you're arrogant enough to think that sin is the wife's problem, and that Adam was led to sin by Eve, then you're failing to understand what it means to be one body. Adam and Eve as one flesh. And we are not meant to see Adam and Eve as male and female at this point. We're meant to see Adam and Eve as humanity, as one. And that Eve eating the apple is not because Eve is any worse than Adam. It's purely we're meant to approach the story as a story of humanity has fallen. And to understand it as Adam and Eve fails to see how we as humans are made as one flesh. In marriage, the son is meant to leave the parents to become one with his wife. And it's this oneness that we're meant to see about Adam and Eve. Not that they're male and female, but that actually Adam and Eve are humanity, the representation of the fullness, the oneness of humanity. What happens? God can't find them. He then casts them out of the garden. That relationship is so badly damaged. The penalty of it is they're cast into the world where they're no longer living eternal lives. They're now living fragile, human, broken lives where murder is, where, you know, very quickly we see death outside of the Garden of Eden. So there's a cost to sinning. The cost is expulsion from perfection, expulsion from the garden, expulsion from the relationship with God as an intimate relationship. But it's also expulsion from eternal living into a world where death is present. So let's keep going. So this separated humanity from God. Sinfulness separated us from humanity of God, who is holy. So the Garden of Eden is meant to be seen as a holy garden. So Adam and Eve are kicked out of eternal holy living, from this holy place of holiness. We couldn't be there because we had now clothed ourselves. We had broken holiness. Habakkuk 1:13, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. This is about God. God is so pure that he cannot look upon evil. He cannot tolerate wrongdoing. The relationship is severed. So in the Old Testament, the Levitical law saw this sacrificial system of paying the price of a sacrifice. You would sacrifice an animal, a sheep, a goat, a dove. By doing that, you could atone for your sin. You could be cleansed by paying the debt using the death of an animal. And it was only ever meant to be a symbol or sign of the true cost that we need to pay. The cost of sinning is death. So Leviticus 16:30 says this, and this is about the Day of Atonement. Because on this day atonement will be made for you to cleanse you, then before the Lord you will be clean from all your sins. So Leviticus 16 is talking about the Day of Atonement, when there will be an offering given. You would give a sacrificial offering. I was telling a story this morning to guys at church. I tell them the story about my first experience of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. I was in the US with some friends in Ohio, and their next door neighbor was Jewish, and they were going to the synagogue for the Day of Atonement. And I said, can I come with you? We'd love you to come with us to the synagogue for Yom Kippur. The problem is you're going to have to wear a shirt and trousers. I'm in the US. I have shorts and a t-shirt. That's all I've got. Flip-flops and shorts, because it's so warm. I can't go wearing this. I don't have any trousers with me. I didn't bring any trousers with me to the US. It's the height of summer. And my friend says, I can lend you a shirt and some trousers. The trousers, they were cream chinos. My friend's about 5 foot, and they were about a foot short up my trouser leg, and they were like really baggy early 2000s chinos. They weren't even tight fitted. They were huge, and they were baggy, and they were short. They were like 2 inches above my socks kind of thing. Anyway, I went to Yom Kippur. Absolutely amazing 3-hour experience. And what they remember is in Leviticus, they were told to take a goat, to put on the goat all of their sins, and send the goat out into the wilderness to die. And that was called the Day of Atonement, because the goat was the atonement. It was the one that was going to carry the sin out. So the scapegoat, the phrase, something's an scapegoat, you are letting something else take the blame for something that you have done. You've created an scapegoat. That's where it comes from Yom Kippur. So on that day, atonement will be made for you to cleanse you before the Lord. So the whole Old Testament is about humanity of sins will sacrifice animals as a way of getting atonement, forgiveness from God. So as we get to Jesus then, so how does Jesus add up into this? Well, Jesus is predicted in Isaiah 53 verse 5. Let me read this. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. So the whole thing about Jesus, the prophecy was that the Messiah would come, and the Messiah would become the atoning sacrifice, would become the scapegoat. Okay, become the scapegoat. And that was predicted back in Isaiah. So Jesus comes as the perfect sacrifice, as the perfect one. Now, in the Old Testament, there were certain animals that were perfect sacrifices, and some were not perfect. Animals, to be a perfect sacrifice, had to be pure. They had to be white, as in clean, and they had to have no defect, no cuts, bruises, damages. So a perfect sacrifice of a lamb, it had to be a perfect lamb. What's it saying in Hebrews 4:15? For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice, like the scapegoat or like the perfect spotless lamb. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So what is Jesus? Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. So we don't need the animals anymore. We don't need that whole system that was in the Old Testament trying to atone for our sin, to pay the debt of our sin through animals. We now have Jesus who's come to do it for us. We're stood there. There's a debt. We're at the till. We've got all our sins stacked up. There's a debt to pay. We cannot pay it. We've not got the credit card. We don't have what it takes to pay the bill. And that hand comes over your shoulder and pays the debt on the kingdom credit card. That's the maths. Wherever the debt is, the atonement is bigger. Wherever the debt is, the cross is bigger. That's the maths of sacrifice, okay? So Jesus took on our sin and our guilt. So 2 Corinthians 5:23, God made him who has no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So that is the equation, if you want to see it that way. Our sin plus Jesus' sacrifice equals eternal life. Whatever the minus number is for sin in our lives, then the plus is bigger than whatever the sin is. The atoning sacrifice is a greater payment. There's more in credit in the cross than we would ever need to cash in. We shouldn't have to, because God wants us to change. He wants us to grow. He wants us to not keep on sinning, but to live differently. So through Jesus, we are then reconciled. And I love the word atonement. I've used it before. At one meant, at one with God. That's what atonement means, to be at one with God. Romans 5:10, for if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more have we been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? So, the Old Testament background, Jesus' role as Saviour, the meaning of Jesus' sacrifice, and the results. Well, what are the results? The results for us is this. Let me read John 1:12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I'm using the Bible here to show you where all of this comes from. This is the Bible narrative. This is the story of Scripture. So, S, sin, plus C, Jesus' death on the cross, equals E, eternal life. So that's the equation. That's how this all adds up. This is how this kind of makes sense to us. It's all about a debt that has to be paid. And I think the most helpful verse I have is that one. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Because I think in that Romans 6:23, we've got the wages of sin, S equals death, but then we have but the gift of God, well, that's Jesus on the cross, is eternal life. E, eternal life. I think it's right there. C, S plus C equals E. Sin plus the cross equals eternal life. I hope anybody who's into maths, I think, might find that just a tad more helpful to understand what's the maths equation here. How does all of this kind of add up for us? So, friends, I hope and pray you found that helpful and interesting. Now, as we go ahead, we've got a whole bunch of interviews lined up and other topics we're going to be moving on now from sin. So please don't ask me any more questions right now. Like, if you genuinely have another question on salvation, then please, you know, you can genuinely message me. But I'm not going to cover any more topics now. We'd have to be through private messages and that kind of thing. So friends, I pray that you find that helpful. S plus C equals E. Sin plus the cross equals eternal life. I hope that now makes sense a little bit more about why this is so important, that Jesus died for us. There's a reason for it. It's not just a nice story. It's actually has eternal consequences. Friends, grace and peace. Until next time, have a wonderful week and we will speak soon. Grace and peace.